morning, First Baptist. Good to see you all. Our 3 and 4-year-olds can be dismissed to Beginner's Church at this time, so if you have a 3 or 4-year-old and they like going to Beginner's Church, or it's good for them to go, this would be the time to go. As they're going, I want to highlight a couple of things. There is a parents' meeting for our 7th through 12th graders next Sunday. Is that right? Through 12th, too? So if you are a parent of a 7th through 12th grader, there is just a parents' meeting, an informational meeting to get you updated as to how things are going right here in the sanctuary. And so join Amber, Kevin for that with the other parents. You will be blessed to learn more of what's happening in the youth ministry for your student. Also, I just want to give you a heads up about all the sign-ups that are coming. Right now, there already is a sign-up for Pizza with the Pastors. And so that's for those of you who are brand new to First Baptist, and you're just trying to figure out what First Baptist is all about, who we are, pastors, who we are as a church. We want to get to know you. And so that's for those of you who really, like, we're new, and we're trying to figure out where to go and who to know. That's for you. There's a sign-up sheet out on the information desk for you. That's coming up in January. Also, a membership class is coming up in January, about 5 weeks of that, also on Sunday mornings. So if you're interested in learning more about what it means to belong here to First Baptist, sign up on that. We want to know how many of you are coming to that membership meeting. There's more things coming up. There's a men's retreat coming up in February, men. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. And so pay close attention to your bulletin for the information that's coming in the next month or two. Small groups are coming in February. And so, hey, just mental note, check your bulletins often about the stuff that's happening and beginning here in the new year. Well, I hope that you are ready to hear from God's Word. Around the beginning of every year, we've gotten into the habit of lifting high the importance and the centrality of the Word of God for our faith. And I get the privilege of doing that for us this year, and I'm going to do that by reading and studying together with you Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. So if you have a Bible, grab your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to read verses 9 through 11. If you don't have a Bible, of course, there's Bibles around you in the pews or in the seats around you. Grab a Bible, turn to Psalm 119, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and you'll learn why in a minute. We're going to read, for now, just verses 9 through 11. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. And this is what the writer says. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I remember first becoming familiar with that passage in the summer of 1997. 1997 was a pivotal year for me. It was the first year I was an engaged man. I got engaged just literally a day or two prior to the start of 1997. And so I was an engaged man for the first time. In March of this year, my father learned about his terminal cancer, which largely defined the next 10 years of not only his life, but our family's life. And my subtle but terribly rebellious disinterest in God began to change. For some strange reason, and that just means God's grace was working on me, for some strange reason, what I had laid down about 4 or 5 years prior to that, I began picking up again, reading God's Word on a more regular basis. I began listening to the music of Keith Green, and those of you know who Keith Green is, who's this follower of Jesus who wrote passionately about what it meant to be a follower of his in lyrics and put to music. And I also read a book that year by Chuck Swindoll called Living Above the Level of Mediocrity. I have no idea why I read this book. I don't remember even buying it or purchasing it, though I think I did. But I read this book. I remember very vividly when I read this book. In July of 1997, our family was taking a vacation to Hawaii. It was a rough life. But my father, you know, he found out he had cancer, and so he had one of those, I better take a family vacation before I die of cancer trips. That's how he felt, I think. And on that trip, for some reason, I made it my plan to read this book. And I remember sitting on that airline seat, reading along and coming to page 26. And Swindoll was writing in this chapter about how to defeat and how to overcome the lies and the deceptions of the evil one. And I remember reading this paragraph, and I pulled this book off the shelf. I didn't even know if I had it in my possession anymore, but sure enough, it was on my shelf. And I turned to page 26 where my bookmarker was, which is a boarding pass to Honolulu. You know, it's just amazing how you take these trips down memory lane. And this is what I read. He says, "The best place I know to begin this process of mental cleansing is with the all-important discipline of memorizing Scripture. I realize it doesn't sound very sophisticated or intellectual, but God's book is full of powerful ammunition, and dislodging negative and demoralizing thoughts requires aggressive action. I sometimes refer to it as a mental assault." So here he is, he's lifting up, in this part, the discipline of memorizing Scripture. And then what Swindoll does next, on the next page, is he just lists a series of passages that he recommends people memorize. And there's one passage that a 20-year-old, Brian Wiff, put a check mark by to make sure he memorized. And it was Psalm 119, 9 through 11. And so even on that trip, I began putting to memory Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Now, I kid you not, it probably was not a week or two later that God had opened my eyes to see my great need for him. He showed me that my easy believism, casual Christianity was no faith at all, and that it was leading me to a path of destruction, and it's what made me comfortable in my sin. And as I told you before, a variety of times, as I was driving up to visit my now wife, Corby, to spend time with her after this vacation with my family, God took a 2x4 and hit me across the side of the head, woke me up, and to show me my need for repentance, my need for Jesus, and that God indeed was big enough to fill that need. Does it surprise you, my brothers and sisters, that that happened only weeks after I began putting to memory Psalm 119, 9 through 11? How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I seek thee. Do not let me wander for thy commandments. Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the New King James Version, the way that I memorized that verse. Does that surprise you? That after hearing, believing, storing up that word in my heart, that I began recognizing that Jesus is enough to satisfy me, that Jesus was enough to purify me? That's not a coincidence. There are no coincidences. There is grace from God, mercy from God. It was mercy and grace from God that he ushered into my life according to the very scripture that I was putting to memory in that summer of 1997. And what I would dare for you to believe, my brothers and sisters, is that God's word can work powerfully in your life and in my life still today in that same way. I need that grace. I need that grace today. I didn't graduate. You know, that didn't happen to me back then, and oh great, now that's I'm done with that part of my faith in God, and now I can move on to other things. No, I need that today. And you need that today. And if you need that grace today, then you need God's word today. And I want and pray for you and I to believe that God would create faith in us in such a way that if we would lean into God's word and seek him in the scriptures in 2014 like we haven't done before, God will show up in amazing ways to provide you and me the mercy and grace and power that we need to live the life that God tells us we can live according to his word. And what I want to do is I want to use Psalm 119 to encourage and to inspire you in such a way that you would believe the power of God's word, where you would pick it up again in a new year. So let's pray and ask God's help to do that this morning. Could you pray with me? God in heaven, there is power. There is power by your spirit when we read your word. And God, right now, I know I am tempted. I know my brothers and sisters are tempted to ignore, to minimize, to rationalize away your call and your power. And I pray that you might help us, Lord, right now, humble ourselves and recognize and see that we desperately need you and that you are gracious and ready to provide help according to your word. So, God, I pray that you would open up our eyes to see things that we have not seen before, to hear things that maybe we have not heard before, and so that we might believe and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to do three things for you, show you three different points, and then I want to get into some application from Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Firstly, this passage is telling you and I that there is power. Sin-conquering power in the word of God. We see that really specifically in verses 9 and verse 11, right? How can a young man, or a young woman, or an older man, or an older woman, how can a person keep his or her way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Okay, change the verse. Don't make it a question. Make it a statement. A young man, an older man, a younger woman, an older woman, can keep his or her way pure by guarding it according to your word. That's really clear, isn't it? Do you want to be pure? Do you want to be holy in your living? Do you want to be cleansed from the power of sin in your life? Well, you need to guard it according to the word of God. Verse 11 drives home the same point. Look at verse 11. I don't want to sin. So where do I get the resources that I might not sin? By storing up the word of God in your heart. Really clear. Your word I have stored up in my heart. Well, why would I do that? That I might not sin against you. The word of God is absolutely critical to our battle against sin. And I'm so glad that so many of you want to stop sinning. I know that about you because I live with you and I can see that in your life. You want to stop sinning. That's evidence of God's grace in your life. And in addition to that, so many of you want to stop sinning for the right reasons too. There's a right reason to want to stop sinning. Your motivation to stop sinning is not to earn God's favor. It is not to somehow merit his forgiveness. That's not why you want to stop sinning. You already believe and you already know, according to the scriptures, that God extends his mercy, God extends his grace, his forgiveness to you, because that's the kind of God he is. And we don't have to earn that from him. He is gracious, he is merciful, and as he extends that to us as a gift, we can receive that gift by grace through faith. You already believe and you know that Jesus Christ died on that cross and was resurrected from the dead so that you could be accepted by God and that you could be forgiven of your sins. So you don't want to stop sinning to try to get that, because you know that God gives that to you and to me because he's a gracious God wanting to give it as a gift. And we believe it in faith that he gives it as a gift. Instead, you want to stop sinning for a different reason. You want to stop sinning for a number of reasons. Number one, that you've died to sin. And now you're alive to God. You once were a slave to sin, but no longer are you a slave to sin. Now you're a slave to righteousness. That's why you want to stop sinning. And you want to stop sinning because you know it offends God. You love God, as you rightly should. He has saved you by the work of Jesus Christ. And every time you and I sin, it's like we look at God and tell him, you're not good enough for me. And he is good enough for us. And I know you want to stop sinning because it hurts your relationships. It hurts other people. And you want to love other people the way God has loved you. And you want to stop sinning because you have experienced and you've learned that the consequence of sin is, in fact, even more sin. And the more you sin, the more you get caught into this ugly vortex of darkness leading deeper and deeper into death. And because you fear that darkness, you rightly fear sin, and you want to stop sinning because of that. Those are good reasons to want to stop sinning. Now, I do want to give a warning, though. It's possible that some of you here really don't care at all about whether you sin or not. You just kind of go about your day, and, you know, I prayed that prayer back in the day, and I know that Jesus forgives us of all of our sins when we believe in him, and so I'm just going to keep on sinning even though I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm kind of covered already. I just want to give you a warning. That's not the thoughts of a man or a woman who's been born again. We do not sin presuming upon the kindness of God. That's not the way a follower of Jesus lives his or her life. And so be warned, if that's your attitude when it comes to your sin, be afraid. Be afraid. Instead, recognize that even in my battle against sin, even the sins that right now I love for all the wrong reasons, I need God's help to kill that sin to move on. So we need that grace. And I'm telling you, and I'm assuring that you're seeing, this passage makes it so patently obvious to you and to me what we need to do about the sin we want to stop committing. Right? We need to take God's word. We need to read it and receive it in faith. As it says in verse 9, we need to guard our life with the word of God. Did you see that there? How can a young man or a young woman keep his or her way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Verse 11, your word I have stored up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so, we know what we're supposed to do. It's not complicated. I am to guard my life with the word of God, and I am to store up the word of God in my heart. That idea of guarding our hearts with the word of God, it's kind of like letting the word of God chart the path of your life. Every single day, you are faced with decisions. You are faced with paths to take. And guarding your life according to the Word of God is recognizing that the path that the Word of God presents before you is the one you are to take. And you take that path even though people are telling you this, even though you've always done that. You take the path that the Scriptures lay out before you, even though your best inclinations is telling you to do differently. Letting the word of God guard your heart is humbly submitting to the course that it provides for you, and you take it no matter what. In obedience, faithful obedience to the Lord. That's why we let the word of God guard our hearts. We let that word chart the path of our life. When it tells us to go left, we go left. When it tells us to go right, we go right. Even when we think we know better. Now, when we store up God's word, you know what happens? We're going to talk a little bit about this later too. But when we store up the word of God in our heart, it has to do with treasuring it. It has to do with hiding it in our hearts. Because what we treasure, what we store up, shapes our life. And we want our life shaped by the word of God in such a way that we have the power of God ready and available to us when the evil one comes and presents to us different options that the Word of God gives us. And so we want to store up in our hearts the Word of God so that we're shaped by the Word rather than shaped by something else. I mean, isn't it true that there is a one-to-one correlation between our regularity in the Word of God and our purity in knowing Him? I mean, I know it's true for me. The seasons of my life when I have most enjoyed God, have been able to resist sin, have even counted my pet sins, ugly and undesirable, have been the times when I have been most regular in my Bible reading. And it's also been true that the times when I have been stuck in sin habits that are destructive, the times when I have not enjoyed God and fellowship with Him, have been the same times when my Bible has sat on my end table collecting dust and I failed to read. And I'm sure that's true for you, because that's the way God has organized and arranged His world. That's the way it works. I do think it's a true statement. Friends, this book will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. And so we pick up the Word of God and read it because it has power. Sin-conquering power infused in it by the grace of God. That's what we see in verses 9 through 11. The second point I want to draw your attention to is the correlation or the connection between God's Word and seeking Him. I see that in verse 10. You look at verse 10 there. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. It's not an accident that statement, with my whole heart, I seek you, is sandwiched between two passages that exalt the Word of God in our battle against sin. Now, this is a very helpful statement for me. You see, our battle against sin is not won by seeking ways to kill our sin. Instead, our battle against sin is won by our seeking of God. You see, for the longest time, I had a different strategy. My sin-killing strategy was to focus my aim on my sin. I tried to put my sin in the crosshairs of my scope because I didn't want to sin. My God loves me. He died for me. I don't want to sin and offend Him. I don't want to sin and hurt my relationships. And so I made it a focus. I made it an intention of my heart to kill my sin. But this is what happened. What happened was my sin became the center of my attention. My sin became my focus. And I want to ask you, is there power in killing your sin by making sin the focus of your attention and your energy? And the answer to that is no, there's not. There's not power there at all. Instead, we are to set our minds on the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And as we do that, the grace of God comes, floods our life, gives us the power to kill the sin that draws us away from Him. Now, I hope that sounds familiar to some of you who've been around here for a while. Colossians chapter 3. We learned in Colossians that the way in which we please God, the way in which we grow in maturity in Him, is by seeking the things that are above, where Christ is. Setting our minds on the things that are above. Setting our mind on the things of Christ, His way, His word, His mission, His people, His kingdom. And when we do that, we receive power to kill the sin that so easily entangles us. I love how he says it in Colossians chapter 2. He says, if you want to grow with a growth that is from God, you need to be holding fast to the head, who is Christ. And so friends, if you want to experience the maturity, the growth, the purity that God has for you, don't focus your energy and attention on your sin that you hate so much. Instead, focus your energy and attention embracing the source of life, the source of grace, the source of hope, who is Christ. Who is Christ? Now we learn in verse 10 that the opposite of seeking God is wandering away. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. But notice what a non-seeker wanders away from. A non-seeker, so if I'm not seeking, he says, I'm wandering away from your commandments. Commandments, God's words, His instruction. So I think I can say this confidently. My brothers and sisters, you cannot seek God apart from His word. You cannot seek God apart from His word. You cannot run the race to win the prize without the Word of God being at the center of your race. You cannot mature into Christ's likeness without reading and hearing the Word of God on a regular basis. It is a must. There is a direct connection between seeking God and seeking Him in the Scriptures. You cannot seek God apart from the Scriptures. Now, I just want to remind you, this isn't a contest. You know, God's not up in heaven, you know, looking down upon us and seeing who's the one who reads the most Scripture. That's not the point. The point isn't, it's not a contest. So don't go home and think, okay, I'm going to read this many chapters a day. That's not the goal. The goal is to know God. The goal is to seek God. And all I'm saying is the Scripture tells us that we seek God primarily through the Scriptures. The Scriptures proclaimed here together as we gather. The Scriptures taught in different studies. The Scriptures read and listened to as you read quietly in the comforts of your own home. That's where you primarily seek God. And there are people all over this world who know a lot of Bible, but who have hearts that are hard and resistant to what it has to say. So don't just think the more I learn, the more I have in my head, the better I'm off. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. Instead, I read God's word humbly. I go to it regularly, believing that as I do, with a spirit that's ready to be corrected, with a heart that's ready to be edited by Him, God will come and show up and move in a powerful way in my life. And so, that's what we do. And so let me ask you, what if I asked you this question? Judging by your use and frequency in the Word of God, how are you seeking Him? What does your current habit in God's Word tell you about your current seeking after God? Are you eager to hear it taught in Sunday school or on a Wednesday night or in a different study? Are you laboring to read it daily yourself, even when it's hard? What is your time in God's Word tell you about your seeking of Christ? Because it's saying something. And I'm just wondering if you have ears to hear this morning. Now, those questions, when I posed them to myself, they made me feel guilty. Because if I look over the past year of 2013, I have to admit that there were periods, seasons in my year, this past year, where judging by my use and time and frequency in the Scriptures, I wasn't a regular seeker of God. And I'm embarrassed to say that. But I also want to say that if some of you fit in that camp, you're like, yeah, I'm there too, Brian. I want to tell you right now that that's what Jesus came to die for. God has mercy for you, for me, for all of us infrequent readers of His Word when we know we should. That's why Jesus came to die for you. It's not about performing for Him. God's not up there in heaven saying, well, if you can make 3/4 of the year, then I'll be happy with you. That's not what He's thinking. God's looking down upon you and He says, if you know Christ, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you because of what my Son has done for you. And now because I'm pleased with you, go read the Scriptures more because you'll be more alive and you'll be more aware of my grace for you. And so go. And when I hear that, and when I remind myself that there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, I don't pick up the Word of God out of a sense of guilt, like I better do it, otherwise God's going to be even more angry at me in 2014 than He was in 2013. It's not why I read the Scriptures. I read the Scriptures because He does love me. He does accept me. Not because I read it well, but because Jesus died for me. It's so important for us to remember. That's a big amen, right? That's very good news. Very good news. All right, the third point I want to draw your attention to, going back to that verse 11, this idea of storing up God's Word. Other translations, and I hinted at it earlier, that word storing up is also treasuring. It's also hiding. Your Word I have treasured in my heart. Your Word I have hidden in my heart, stored up in my heart. And as you hear those words, you can see that it's not just a matter of reading it through, right? Sometimes I get into that mentality, okay, I got the checklist out, I'm a few days behind, I gotta catch up, which we do sometimes. And we gotta read it through and get that check mark and get that box checked. But I want to read it in a different way. I want to read it in such a way where I'm storing it up in my heart, hiding it in my heart, treasuring it up in my heart. We do this not just with Word of God, we do this in other ways too. I'm embarrassed to say that sometimes when my lovely wife is trying to give me instructions for the day, I'm giving the, I got it, and I'm doing something else. Or my boys are trying to inform me about how their day at school went. I'm giving the, oh, great boys, but I'm really not listening. And my wife, of course, she knows this about me, and so she'll oh so cruelly say, did you get that? And I'll say, well, could you tell me again, you know? And we do that with the Word of God, right? We'll read it through. Yep, I know this one. I've heard this story before. Yeah, I got to get through this. And my favorite preacher heard a sermon from him about this. And then, boom, I'm done. Now I can go about the rest of my day. But there's a way in which our reading of God's Word and hearing it isn't a storing up. It's not a hiding His Word in our hearts. So I would encourage you to remember that we don't read God's Word so much just to gain more facts about God in our head, like we might in a reading of a history book learn more facts about World War II. That's not why we read so much. We read and study God's Word so that it might shape the contours and the patterns of our life. That we want our lives to take the shape of Jesus. And the more I read and hear and am amazed by God's grace, the more I take the shape of Jesus. And so I want to read in that way. And I want to store up His Word. I want to treasure His Word. I want to hide it in my heart. And only then will I might not sin against God. Verse 11. Okay, so those are the three points I want to draw your attention to from Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Now, this is what I want to do for the remainder of our time. I just want to get practical. Talk about some things that you and I can do, and I'm going to get this straight from the Scriptures, of how to help us get more of God's Word embedded in our hearts and in our minds in 2014. The first thing I want to draw your attention to, though, is the plan. Every year, we supply some Bible reading plans. You've noticed out on the counter when you came in that there is some more Bible reading plans, and so make sure you pick one up as you go home. If you do not plan to read the Scriptures, if you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. If you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail. If you're going home just saying, well, I'm just going to hope to read the Bible more this year, in 2 weeks, you won't be. All right? So you have to adopt some sort of plan. And so we have some plans out there. There's others. If you'd like some more ideas, let us know. We have a treasure trove of plans that we could recommend to you. The three out there, two of them are kind of read the Bible in a year kind of plan. And they have different sequences and stuff like that. The other plan, if you feel like, man, that's so ambitious, I don't know if I could do that, it's less ambitious. So there's one plan out there. It's read the New Testament over the course of 6 months. And so maybe you want to start there. Again, the goal isn't to read more than your neighbor. The goal is just to get more of God's Word into your heart and your mind. And so grab a plan as you go, and maybe grab a couple and say, okay, which one am I going to try this year? And don't be afraid to edit it as you go. So the plan. What I want to do, though, is go back to Psalm 119. So go back in your Bible. Go to Psalm 119. And what I want to do is I want to read verses 12 through 16. The following verses of this section. Because what the author does is he tells us five different things that he's going to do with the Word of God. Now what I want to do is I want to tease those action steps out of these passages for you and for me as we enter into 2014. So let's read verses 12 through 16, and then we'll comment on them. Verse 12 says this, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts, and I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." All right, the first thing the psalmist does is he prays. Do you see that there in verse 12? Teach me your statutes. He cries out to God. And so let's make this our first action step too, First Baptist. Pray. Pray that God might help you in your Bible reading. Pray that He might help you in your listening and you're learning. I know I need that help. I read God's word and I'm reading and thinking, I don't know what he's talking about. Or sometimes when I wake up in the morning, you know what I say? I don't feel like reading my Bible today. Or sometimes when I'm reading, I get through maybe five verses and for some reason my mind starts drifting and I'm thinking about what am I going to have for lunch later that day. You know, it happens to all of us. And so we need God's help. And anytime we need God's help, we should be praying for God to help. And so First Baptist, pray. Pray, God, help me understand. I don't get what I'm reading all the time. God, help me not be distracted. God, help me be focused. Help me love what I'm reading. Help me understand what I'm reading. Let's make prayer an action step. Verse 13 says, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. Declare. With my lips I declare your rules. There's great intuition here. One of the ways the Word of God will be more concretely embedded in your mind and in your heart is if you talk about it with other people. Talking about what you're reading, talking about what you're learning. What if you committed yourself to telling your wife on a regular basis what you are learning in your scripture reading? What if you made a habit of going home together and telling your husband what God said to you in the morning message or in the Sunday school class? What if you as a family made a practice of regularly talking about the Word of God that you're reading together? I'm convinced that if you would be willing to talk about it, it will be more concretely embedded in your mind and in your heart. The psalmist says, I will declare all the rules of your mouth. I will declare it. And I think he declares it, obviously, to praise God, to exalt it, but it also helps with it in being embedded in our mind and in our hearts. Thirdly, delight in what you read. Verse 14 says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. We've been doing a lot of delighting lately, right? Delighting in our Christmas vacations and celebrations and presents and meals. And that's a good thing to do because they're delightful. And so is the Word of God. The Word of God is delightful. And so when we read, when you listen, delight in what you're hearing. Tell yourself, this is good. This is helpful for me. This enlivens my soul. This leads me to the paths of righteousness. So tell yourself, this is a good thing. Delight in what you're reading and what you're hearing. Now I get it. Some of you might be thinking, but I don't all the time. I don't always delight in it. Your sermons are dull. I get it. I don't get the privilege of listening to sermons, and every now and then I do, and I have to kind of wake myself up every now and then. Come on, wake up. This is good for you. Or when you're reading your Bible and you're thinking, I don't see how this is so delightful. Leviticus is so long, you know, so confusing. I get it. It's hard. Sometimes something's delightful and we can't sense it. We can't taste it. And so what that means for me is I know this to be true. I know that it's good for me. I know it's a delight, but my heart isn't feeling it right now. So what do? I just pray. God, help me. God, help me see. Help me experience that your word is as delightful as honey straight from the honeycomb. I'm not tasting it now, God, but help me. Build an appetite in me that I might delight in your word. So delight in the word of God. Next, verse 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Meditating, that simply means focusing. It means thinking deeply. And we should be doing that with the Word of God. Now, I'm tempted not to do that. Here's what I'm tempted to do. I'm tempted to get the Word of God out, read my plan, do the little check mark, close the Bible, and turn the TV on. That's what I'm tempted to do. And there's not a lot of meditating in that. Kind of the, yeah, I got this part, close it, and move on. Instead, I think the Scriptures are telling us that what we should do is when we read, we should ponder. We should let the Word of God linger in our mind. Process what we're reading. Don't be so quick to move on. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. Okay. No condemnation. I deserve condemnation. My sins deserve that. But there's none. Why? Because of Christ. I'm going to rejoice. And so think about, let the word of God linger in your mind. Meditate on it. That's the fourth thing. Here's the fifth thing, verse 16. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. He doesn't want to forget. He wants to remember. And I'm sure you do too. I forget. I want to forget. I want to remember. So what can I do to remember? Two suggestions. We talked about it earlier. Memorize. Friends, memorization is not that hard for most of us. It's only hard because we don't want to give the time. That's really the only reason why it's hard. Imagine if you took just 10 minutes of your mindless internet surfing time. I've got 10 minutes to spare there. Just imagine if we took 10 minutes of that time to memorize the Word of God. It would make an impact in our life. It's not hard because it's complicated. It's not hard because we don't have the capacity, most of us. It's hard because we're not willing to commit ourselves to the task. Memorize the Word of God, and you'll remember it so much more. Here's something else it's easy to do. Post scripture in your life. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your dashboard. Put a verse on your computer monitor if you struggle going to sites that you shouldn't go to. Put Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? I need to be pure because there's all kinds of stuff on this computer I shouldn't see. Put the Word of God just around you. And then see it, notice it, change it on a monthly basis. Get the Word of God regularly in your heart and in your mind. Put it in the forefront of your eyes and see it on a regular basis. And you'll be able to recall things to mind so much more easily if you remember or if you memorize and if you post. So those are five action steps that you and I can take to increase our depth in the Word of God. Pray, declare, delight, meditate, and remember. So this is what I want to do in closing. I'm hoping that this word has encouraged you to once again take up the cause of reading your scriptures on a regular basis. And maybe you've tried this before and you've struggled. And you want to begin again anew. And I'm glad you do. I know I need prayer for that. And so like we normally do, we'll close here, stand and close. But if you would like, I'd love to have a band of brothers and sisters join me here before you leave. And we're going to pray together and ask God to help us supply the grace and the power that we need to, in faith, take up the scriptures again in 2014. So we're not going to play any music for this. We're going to dismiss you here in 1 minute. But rather than leaving, if you feel in God telling you, make the Word of God central in your life, I want you just to gather with me and the other brothers and sisters who come, and we're going to pray together. I'm going to give you just a word of encouragement, and Tim's going to do that for you in the Awana room, and we'll take 2 minutes, and then we'll go. But we're going to go believing that God hears and answers prayer. So why don't you stand with me as we close? I want to send you out with the blessing from the Lord. So God in heaven, would you come now? Would you move in us in such a way to believe that you are ready to supply grace and mercy and power through your words? God, we believe your Spirit moves with power upon its proclamation. And so even right now, God, I pray you'd grant us the faith and the belief take the steps that we need to take, even the steps of asking for more prayer, making this a declarative statement this morning, saying, I want to be more regular in my Bible reading. And so God, please help us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed, First Baptist.